We have two scriptures we're going to be reading this morning. The one is Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 18. And then we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, we're just about at the end of another year. And I know we heard this poem more than once, but I want to repeat it to us this morning again. He came to my desk with quivering lip. The lesson was done. "Dear teacher, I want a new leaf," he said, "because I've spoiled this one." I took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his sad eyes smiled, "Do better now, my child." I went to the throne with a quivering soul. The old year was done. "Dear Father, hast thou a new leaf for me? I've spoiled this one." He took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my sad heart smiled, "Do better now, my child." I suppose you all with me have spoiled our leaf. And we're to start a new year with a new zeal and purpose to serve the Lord more effectively and more graciously, more on fire for Him than we were before. Exodus 19, beginning with verse 16. "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Zion was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." And then back to verse Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." May we kneel for a word of prayer.
I want to start with a question. That simply is, what is fire? This mysterious phenomena where a flame exists and where something else seems to vanish in the process, where heat and light are produced. In Bible times, fire represented physical life. Fire represented the power of life. Fire enabled their existence. Just try to picture yourself in the Old Testament times. To cook, you would need to put something on the fire. To bake bread, you would use a stone that was either on the fire or beside the fire. That's how you would bake bread. To see at night, they didn't have candles. They had oil lamps that they lit the oil lamps and they sat them on a lampstand. And warmth was also provided by the fire. In Isaiah 44, verse 15, then shall it be for a man to burn. They had got wood. For he shall take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. In 1 Kings 17, we see the widow of Zarephath gathering sticks to make a fire. Jesus indicated that dried grass was used as fuel for heating and cooking. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye little faith? They also used fire to purify metals. Fire was also used to melt. Scripture says it was used to dry. The basics of life was in the power of the fire. Eating, warmth, and light. Our culture, we don't think as much about fire because it's out of sight. The boiler for heat is in the basement. We cook on an electric stove. We flick a switch for light. We are dependent on energy. It provides power for us, but it's out of sight. It's out of mind compared to in New Testament times. In New Testament times, they also understood the destructive nature of fire. Samson used foxes to light the fields on fire. Many times the wrath of God fell upon them in fire. So they were familiar with its power to bring life and its power to bring destruction. Those in New Testament times, they realized it was good and it was also bad. Fire was power. Fire provided life. With us today, when we lose electricity, things come to a halt for a little till we get a backup plan going. But in Bible times, when there was no fire, they lost all power to provide warmth and to cook and to provide light. Without it, there was no bread, no heat, no metal for foods. The power of physical life was in the fire. This mysterious phenomena of chemical transformation. In the Old Testament, we see many times God manifested himself as fire or light. And sometimes it was simply just his glory appeared as fire. And fire became a symbol of God. Just as physical fire provides power for life, even so, God was the source of spiritual power and life. Now, God is not energy like a physical fire. God was not actually heat. God is a spirit, but he chose to use fire to represent himself because the generation he was revealing himself to understood its significance. Fire best illustrates the many attributes of God. Fire is power in action, and God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Fire refines and purifies, and God is completely holy. Only he is capable of refining and purifying sin in our lives. Fire provides help and service to physical needs, and the God of love and mercy is just that in a spiritual sense. Also, fire consumes and destroys. Hebrews 12, verse 29, for our God is a, what? Consuming fire. God used fire to destroy the sons of Aaron. In our physical world, we judge fire as good or as bad. Fire that cooks is good. Fire that burns my house down is bad. But any fire that is symbolically or physically associated with God is good and good. The love of God and the justice of God are not opposed to each other. He is who he is. His fire only manifests his perfect attributes of his love and justice. Zephaniah 1 verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Even God's anger and his wrath and judgments are righteous and good. The first time that fire is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 15:17, in connection with God ratifying the covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 15, verse 9 and 10, and he, that's God, said unto them, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he, Abraham, took them, and he divided them in the midst, so he cut them apart, and laid each piece one against another. And then in verse 17, we see God passing between the sacrifice to ratify the covenant. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun was going down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. God chose a furnace and a lamp to show, to symbolize his presence. It's interesting that whenever we see the start, many times when we see the start of something new, a new era, a new beginning, a new covenant, many times God used light or fire to indicate this change. God ratified his covenant with Noah with a rainbow, which is light, which is a product of the burning of the sun. The rainbow, which is broken into, how many colors are in a rainbow? Seven. Seven primary colors. It symbolized the start of a new era. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the light, that light contains seven primary colors. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. It's not a coincidence, because seven is the perfect number. And light symbolizes the perfection in Christ Jesus. Another fascinating aspect of light. And again, light is a product of fire. And those who have studied it have found in recent times that light actually has a dual nature. Scientists have realized in the world of physics, everything acts, and I'm not going to explain all this, it either acts as a particle or as a wave. It's impossible to be both. But as scientists have studied light, they were fascinated to find it's both a particle and a wave. Light has a dual nature. It's fully particle, it's fully wave. It has a dual nature that's impossible, but yet it is. George Mueller, a physicist, and this was not the George Mueller that we read about, but he wrote, since the particle-wave duality of light was dealt with by quantum mechanics more than 30 years ago, it has never ceased to be a fascinating topic for physics and philosophers of science. The fact that there appears to be a paradox in this dual behavior causes difficulty of interpretations. A paradox. Jesus was light, that impossible paradox. He was fully God and fully man. Abraham saw the light that ratified the covenant. Noah saw the light that ratified the covenant. The journey of Moses began with Abraham, with the angel speaking to Moses as a flame in the bush. God led the children of Israel at night, how? By a pillar of fire. The law was given, accompanied by fire. We just read that in Exodus 19, the fire that accompanied the giving of the law. The altar fire had to be kept continually lit. Leviticus 6, verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And it shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, we see fire again signifying a transformation to something new. King Solomon had just dedicated the new temple to the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Daniel saw God in Daniel 7, verse 9. "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream came forth from upon before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." Some of the disciples saw Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 2. And it says, "And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light." Saul fell before the light as he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul later said to Timothy about God, "Who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto." In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, he says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Revelation, he's described that, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city has no need for the sun, neither for the moon to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof." Revelation 22, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they have no need of a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." The God who created the physical sun in Genesis 1, verse 16, whose fire gives heat and light to our world, he himself will light up the New Jerusalem. God is light. He uses fire, light, as symbolism, because the culture who saw his symbolism saw fire as energy that was good, that transformed, that heated, that cooked, that provided guidance, that melted, dried, purified, and refined. We saw God use fire and light at different periods of transition in his plan for mankind. In Acts 2, verse 3, I thought maybe we could read this together. Hopefully you have your Bibles open to Acts 2 yet. We're going to start with verse 1. So we're going to read together Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to four together. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." God, through the Holy Spirit, manifested himself like as to fire. The appearance of fire came from heaven, and then it divided and sat upon all of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit to usher in this new era of God working through his Holy Spirit in the people that he has called and chosen. God now indwelt them. The burning bush was now in them. The God that passed between the sacrifice of the Abrahamic covenant was now in them. The pillar of fire now was in them to convict and to guide and lead their lives. Jesus had predicted, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." They now were equipped with the power of God to do his will. Sometimes I've asked the question of myself, am I on fire for God? You know, I'm not sure that the way I word that, if that's a good way to word it. It implies my fire is something separate from God, as if, humanly speaking, I could be energized to serve Him. And this is a question for myself and for each of us. Does God's flame burn in my heart? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit, with His power to reach out and change lives? Let's look at a couple aspects of fire. First of all, fire is always seen. You can't hide fire. It's visible day or night. If you try to hide it, the smoke gives it away. In Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in their house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Do God and others see His Holy Spirit's power burning in me? Is it evident to others? Can they see it? If it's there, they will see it. Secondly, fire always brings about a transformation. You know, wood that burns does not disappear or vanish. I mean, this candle is going to be disappearing here, but it looks like it's disappearing, but it's actually not really vanishing. I read that wood, when you burn wood, it's actually transformed into carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, water vapor, ash, heat, and light. The Christian who has the fire of the Holy Spirit in him or her will be transferred. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When we have the fire, the spiritual fire, it's spiritually impossible to stay the same. There will be a transformation. Thirdly, the fire needs fuel. Many of you have probably heard of what's called the fire triangle. There are three things that are needed to start a fire and to continue a fire. And there's really no exceptions to this rule. With every fire, it needs these three things to start it and to continue it. It needs fuel, it needs oxygen, it needs heat. It takes all of these three to start a fire. You remove any of these, those three, and the fire will go out. In a spiritual sense, our bodies are like the fuel. The Spirit is like the energy, the power. The Word is the oxygen. As we allow the Spirit and the Word in our life, the fire grows. But when we remove the Word from our life, or when we remove the Spirit, the fire stops. It's interesting how fire extinguishers are designed based on that fire triangle. So most of you know some fire extinguishers contain foam or dry chemicals. And the reason they work is they remove the oxygen from the fire. And so then it goes out. Fire extinguishers that contain water, if I would pour water on this candle, what it's doing is it's removing the heat from the fire. And it will go out. You know, the enemy wants to attack your spiritual fire triangle. He tries to smother the Word by stopping your personal devotions. And those of you, as you're struggling with your personal devotions, it's the enemy trying to smother the fire. He tries to take away the heat of your prayer with God. How many of you put fire in the wood furnace and you check it a couple weeks later? Anyone here? No, we need to check it hourly. It needs stirred up. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord?" Paul told the young Timothy, he said, to stir up the fire, stir up the gift that is in him. And that word actually means to rekindle. Fourthly, the longer a fire goes, the hotter it gets. Let a fire to itself with unlimited fuel, it will grow to unlimited proportions. I read about the fire in California, not the one that's currently burning, but there was one in 2016, and it actually started with just a little campfire. And it eventually destroyed 57 homes and 43,000 acres. Just one match, one little campfire. The potential for fire to grow. How long has the Spirit been working in you? Is the fire getting larger? Are others seeing the fire spreading in us? Are they seeing a transformation? I read that a match, it has in it something called potential energy. Potential energy is a scientific term for inactive energy that has capacity to do a work. Now, kinetic energy is working energy. In other words, when you strike a match, the potential energy becomes kinetic working energy. If the Holy Spirit is in you, do you realize your potential energy? This power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Is it potential energy or is it kinetic energy? God desires to release your potential energy into kinetic energy. He desires that we turn York and Hanover and Spring Grove upside down. He desires we transform our neighbors and the world around us. Why are we sitting on this potential energy when he wants to turn it into kinetic energy and set the world on fire? Fire is always seen. It brings transformation. It needs fuel. The longer it goes, the hotter it gets. Its potential is unlimited. The power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited because the Holy Spirit is God. It's interesting, as I was studying this, the Apostle Peter had some extraordinary experiences around two campfires. And I thought there's just a couple lessons we could learn from this. The first fire was after Jesus had been arrested. I'm going to read a couple, not all the verses, but a couple of verses from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 58. "And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And then a couple verses later, "And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The second fire, we see that they were out in a boat fishing after Jesus had rose from the dead. And Jesus calls to them, and they come to shore. And in John chapter 21, verse 9, "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." And here we see in the next couple of verses, the Lord restored Peter back into fellowship with him. And it's interesting, John, in his accounts, both accounts, what I just read, He uses the same word for both fires. Anthrakia. You're familiar with the term anthrak, which is coal. It's a large heap of burning coal in both accounts. And it provided much heat and much light. Let's notice two contrasts here. In the fire in Luke 22, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. They had started the fire themselves. But in John's account, the fire was started by Christ. Peter failed around the first fire. He denied Christ. The second fire was lit by Christ, and there was victory. How many of us have been trying to light human fires? Have we been trying to live in the fire of the past or the fire of our heritage? Have we been trying to earn our salvation? Christ says, give me the matches. Let me start a controlled blaze in your life. Let Christ pour fuel on your fire. Another contrast is the first fire revealed Peter's sin to repentance. The second fire drew him to Christ. From Luke's account, it's evident that the light of the fire, this candle here doesn't give much light, but the light of the fire in the darkness, it showed the face of Peter to those around him. And they recognized his face from the light, along with his speech. And he denied Christ. And Christ looked on him. And it says he went out and wept bitterly. You know, the fire of the Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing. He wants to reveal our sins. He wants to illuminate our lives, to reveal the sins in our lives. Fire should make us uncomfortable. It should cause us to squirm and move about. Peter, in the light of those coals, was convicted after Christ looked on him. But we see that the other fire brought him to Christ. They heard Christ's voice, and then they saw the fire and the face of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants us to repent. But as we repent, He wants us to look in the face of Christ. Repentance without Christ will get us nowhere. In Christ is the completion of the fire of conviction. Are you satisfied with where you are? Is a little flicker enough for you? Are you just a match or are you a lighthouse? Have you seen the look on Christ's face? You know, you can walk into a house. It can have a stove, it can have a lot of lights, fixtures, it can have a furnace, it can look good, things can appear normal, but you know, if they don't work, they're worthless. A stove that will not cook, a light that will not illuminate, a furnace that gives no heat, they're headed for the junk pile. Now, as a Christian, we can look good. But if God's fire doesn't burn within us, we are headed for hellfire. Matthew 7, verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John 15, verse 6. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. God is calling me, he's calling each of us to repent of our lukewarmness. We have been satisfied. We've been neither cold nor hot, and we've been satisfied. And we have quenched his spirit. He is calling us to allow him to set us ablaze for his glory. He desires to fill us. He wants your body and soul and spirit to be transformed on the altar of sacrifice. And his flames will engulf you and transform you and your family and your neighborhood. Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But then he says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just man made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In Christ, each of us have experienced the presence of God, like Moses did on Mount Sinai. God was approachable in Jesus Christ to each of us. And you came to him and he came in you. And angels celebrated as you came to him. Your confession was witnessed by the church. You came to Jesus who poured out the fire of his Holy Spirit upon you. The writer of Hebrews continues, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Therefore we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." How can we escape if we turn from him? Peter had backslidden, but Christ rekindled the fire. The fire shone brightly. In Acts chapter 1, we see Peter took charge to find a successor for Judas. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon ever preached. In Acts 3, he healed the lame man. In Acts 4, he preached again and 5,000 men came to Christ. In Acts 5, he was put in prison, but the angels opened the prison door. God used the one who the flame had almost died out to accomplish all this. With each of us, tomorrow is a new beginning. The book of Acts in your life, there's still many chapters to be written. God has that potential energy in each of us. Will you surrender to him? Will you all on the altar of sacrifice lay? Every person who ever lives will in some way experience the fire of God. Some will experience the fire as they accept his love and mercy and the indwelling, life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. And this fire will burn into eternal life where we will shine with him forever. Others will suffer the fire of his vengeance. Eternal burning in total darkness and loneliness. God is love, and God is just. His love and his justice are in harmony with each other. They do not contradict each other. If Christ does not have his fire in you now, then you will suffer in his physical fire for eternity. Will you allow God's fire to burn in you? I want to close with two verses of a poem once penned by Charles Wesley. This is something that you could say. He said, "Oh, that in me the sacred fire might now begin to glow. Burn up the dross of base desire and make the mountain flow. Refining fire, go through my heart, illuminate my soul. Scatter thy life through every part and sanctify the whole." May God bless each of you as you are burning lights for the Lord. And if any of us have backslidden, if the light's almost out, Now is the time to repent, to more fully give our heart to the Lord. May God bless each of you.
Thankful again to have been here to hear the Word of God preached this morning. And fire is an awesome thing. As we think about it, just amazed at the subject title of the morning and the awesomeness of fire. And I've seen it burn a couple of barns to the ground. I've seen it burn a couple of pieces of equipment, and amazed at the devastation that it can cause. And just this morning, as I walked out of the house before daylight, it was 3 degrees as I looked at the thermometer. Came back in a short time later to get a bottle for KF, and the sun had just started to come up, and it was 5 degrees. Come back in a little later, it was 7 degrees. You know, as our brother reminded us, we can get cold and dark. And it is cold and dark, because without fire, without light, there is no warmth. So it doesn't matter if a person's at 3 degrees, we can be warmed up and we can get the fire in our hearts and in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit reach into our lives. Just amazing, as I thought about it, I did think about that this morning as I looked at the thermometer the second time and it was 5 degrees. That sun's 93 million miles away, and in just a couple of moments' time after it starts peeking over the horizon, it's starting to warm the air. And I had to think, we can let the Holy Spirit warm our lives just the same. Let's stand before Him in prayer.